Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
This is Garden Variety, a horticulture podcast from Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've had some warm days, we have thankfully had some rain, and now for many of us, it is time to think about mowing. To help us do the thinking, Adam Tomes is here, turf grass specialist and assistant professor of horticulture at Iowa State University. Hello, Adam.
Good morning.
So this time of year, we see this sort of explosive growth on our lawns. When do we know it's time to start mowing?
Well, typically we want to make sure the ground's firmed up, which it is. And then, you know, once you have growth of the plant, then it's a good time to start growing. You don't want it to get super tall. So typically we say, you know, you never want to remove more than 1/3 of the leaf tissue in a single mowing. And so if you keep your yard at 3 inches, when it gets to 4 inches, it's a good time to start mowing.
All right. And of course, peer pressure comes into play here as well. Once your neighbor starts mowing, suddenly it feels like the clock is ticking, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I know last week in my neighborhood, one neighbor mowed, and within, I think, 2 days, it seemed like everybody had to mow. So it's kind of one of those that you're going to keep up with the neighbors.
So we have seen a movement in recent years for no-mow May and for people developing more pollinator-friendly lawns. It feels like that movement is morphing a little bit to a more focused effort to plant things that are pollinator-friendly as far as just let lawns go wild. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, I would prefer that you continue to mow. Just set your mower as high as it will go if you're, you know, concerned about wanting to keep around blooming plants underneath. A lot of the early spring bloomers, dandelions, white clover, wild violets, those will all continue to bloom even if you're mowing at 4 or 4.5 inches during the month of May. And because if you don't mow at all for a whole month, especially during the month of May, then you get in a situation where the grass just grows really tall. You're going to go in and basically cut it in half, overstress it, and then it'll die out. So you're kind of removing your goal there of, you know, trying to provide a pollinator friendly area. So just set your mower really tall. You won't have to mow as often, and you'll still have the pollinator friendly plants blooming underneath it.
All right. And you're less likely to get a citation from whatever community you live in. How often do you mow?
Yeah. So I'll mow this time of year. The grass is having a flush of growth. The growing conditions are perfect, especially with the rain we're going to get. And so you're going to probably mow around every 5 days or so. And then that'll slow down as the temps warm up and it gets a little bit drier to something like once every 7 to 10 days.
All right. And you mentioned if you keep your lawn at about 3 inches, tell me what you consider to be best practices.
Yeah, so I typically say 3 to 3.5 inches is best practice. That's a good height for the plant. It's not stressed. Once you start to get below 3 inches, then you're going to need to start to add some additional inputs. So that's where you'd have to add some water more often. You're going to have a little bit more pressure from weeds, so you'd have to up your fertilizer rate. So 3 to 3.5 inches is a really good height for yards, for the grass to not be stressed. And honestly, a lot of the plants. So you'd have a dense area. And so that would keep down some of the mud in your yard as well, because the plants aren't as stressed. And then mow it, you know, every time you have a third of the height in growth, then mow it.
When you mow, do you have any other best practices that you try to keep in mind? I know that a lot of people have their systems for how they like to mow, the direction they like to mow, alternating directions between each mowing. What are your rules of thumb?
Yeah, a couple other things that are really useful to keep in mind. Number one, recycle your clippings. Those are free nutrients. And so when you mow, put those back into the yard, and that's free fertilizer for the yard.
All right. When you say put them back into the yard, that means you just don't have to bag them at all. The mower is going to take care of that mulching, right?
Yep. Yep. Just let the mower mulch up those clippings. And then the other thing that's really good is to alternate directions. So go different directions every time you mow. So maybe one time you're going to go north-south, the next time east-west, then on a diagonal. And that just kind of spreads the traffic pattern out in the yard, so it's not always going the same way.
Let's talk about mowers. There are so many different options out there, but no matter what kind of mower you have, it is probably sat in your garage or your shed or your barn all winter long. What do we need to be thinking about as far as mower maintenance?
Yeah, so a couple things on mower maintenance. The first one is, you know, make sure that you have a clean air filter if you have a gas-powered motor. That's going to let the mower work with less stress. And so go in and check that, clean it out if necessary. Check your oil levels, replace the oil if it's gas powered. If it's electric or gas, no matter what, you might want to send it out the first time and mow and then sharpen the blade after that first mow. That, you know, there's lots of little debris, things like that, that end up in your yard over the winter that maybe you won't spot. And so if you hit that the first time, you know, you're not dulling up your freshly sharpened mower blade. And so mow once, then sharpen the mower blade, and then you're normally good to go for a while on that.
Yeah, how often do you sharpen your blades?
Yeah, it kind of depends on how big your yard is, things like that. But once every 2 months or so is probably a good idea if for a normal average size yard. Just a sharp blade is going to give you a cleaner cut. And that puts, again, less stress on the plant if it's a clean, crisp cut because the plant can heal quickly and then it doesn't use so much water when it's healing.
For early adopters, there were some hiccups with electric mowers in those early years, but it seems like there are a lot more options now. What do you see?
Yeah, there's a ton of options, both from electric mowers where you're with them as well as the robotic mowers. Those are really coming out. Those things are handling hills better. And they've come up in their height of cut, so it's more of a reasonable height of cut. The electric mowers, the one thing to keep in mind is, you know, you're going to have to mow a little bit more often if you get behind. Man, it's going to be tough to catch up there for a little bit. So really keep an eye on your height of cut.
Why is that? Just not the kind of horsepower?
Yeah, not the in the battery life on those, it really wears the battery down quickly if you get behind on it. So you're going to have to, you know, mow it several times just to get caught back up.
All right. And let's talk a little bit about those robotic mowers. We've been talking about them for a couple of years now. The first time it seemed futuristic, but are you seeing more and more adoption of them?
Yeah, there's been a huge uptick in those, and it's just predicted to go higher and higher. They cover a greater area now. They're at a better height of cut, so they will mow in that 3-3.5 inch range, and they're more user-friendly. So you can drive them around the outside of your property or in areas where you want it excluded with your phone the first time, and then they can mow inside of that. The one thing to keep in mind there, just like any other mowers, they do have little blades. They're kind of more like razor blades, but those need to be changed periodically as well. And so every manufacturer is a little bit different on those, but read up in your manual and make sure to change those out too.
And remind me a little bit about how they work. With robotic vacuum cleaners, usually those run once a day or in the middle of the night or something like that. How often are these robotic mowers mowing?
Yeah, these are very similar to your robotic vacuums. And so they're set to go out, you know, whenever you want them to, but oftentimes people like them to go out at night. And so they would go out every day and kind of run over the area. They just don't have the horsepower to do it once a week. So you're going to have them go out more regularly, probably daily to at least every other day at the very least.
All right, let's talk about weeds in the yard. Again, there are some people who have kind of changed their tune about what we refer to as weeds in the yard with a movement for more pollinator-friendly lawns. But there are a lot of people still fighting weeds in their yard. You recommend actually knowing what you have out there. Tell me a little bit about your recommendations for weed identification.
Yeah, that's the biggest starting point. I get a lot of questions on what weed is this or what plant is this in my yard. And so that's greatly going to determine, you know, your course of action if you want to control those. And so There's a certain amount of weeds right now that are called annual winter weeds, and they germinate in the fall. They grow in the fall, early spring, and they're flowering, setting seed, and then they'll die out with the summer heat. A lot of those, you know, you really don't have to worry about a ton right now because they're on their way out. And so, you know, if you were going to treat those, I would treat those next fall because they're clearing out right now. A couple examples of that would be henbit and winter dead nettle. And those look a lot like creeping Charlie. And so that's why people get really nervous. But they have slightly different leaf shapes and they do have purple flowers right now. And so they're kind of showy. And so that's why a lot of people, I think, are finding those in their yard and saying, oh, my gosh, do I have creeping Charlie? And so, you know, identifying that is a key. But they're on their way out with the first warm snap. They'll die out.
So not everybody can send you an email and get their weeds identified that way. Do you recommend an app for weed identification, or what do you think the best method is?
Yeah, the Yard and Garden site has some good resources on it. That's really useful for weed identification or sources there. That's where I like to start.
A lot of people also like to fertilize their lawns in the spring. What are your thoughts?
Yep, fertilizing. You know, the best defense against weeds is a well-fertilized yard. We always like to see slow-release type products used. That kind of more evenly feeds the plant over time. It's less chance of a runoff situation. And then it's easier on you, too, because if you put down an entirely quick-release product, you're going to mow yourself till you're sick of mowing early in the spring. So we like slow-release products, and then that makes a denser turf, which makes it, you know, more uniform. It'll hold the soil better as well and give you more drought resistance as well.
All right. And when is the right time, if you choose to fertilize and choose to use slow-release products, when is the right time to do that?
Right now is a really good time to get out a slow-release product and thicken the yard. If you were concerned about crabgrass prevention, you're at the very tail end of it. And so this would be the very backside of that. Like this weekend would be the last that I would say probably you're going to have that window for that.
Adam Tomes, turf grass specialist and assistant professor of horticulture at Iowa State University. For more gardening information and tips, please subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. You can find out more at iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. Garden Variety is a production of Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension. It's produced by me, Aaron Stile, Caitlin Troutman, and the Iowa Public Radio talk show team. For more garden goodness, please subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. Just go to iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. See you next time.